Welcome to another inspiring message recorded at Rivers Church.
We're going to continue with our wisdom series that we've titled Accessing and Applying God's Wisdom to Life. Wisdom is our theme for 2020, and I've been so encouraged by all the feedback that we've received. I just sense there's a real desire for wisdom, a real hunger to become more wise and grow in the things of God. Because as we've been saying, that everything in life gets better when we get wisdom and we begin to apply it. If you lack wisdom in life, you will always lose something. It will always cost you something of value. But whenever we get wisdom, we always gain something from God as well. And there was a story I read about a flight that had only four people on it. There was the pilot, a young Boy Scout, an elderly pastor, and a scholarly-looking gentleman. During the flight, the pilot came back and said to the three of them that they were experiencing some engine difficulties and the plane was going to crash. He said there was good news and bad news. He said the good news is that there were parachutes. The bad news was that there were only three parachutes. He then explained to them that he had to make a full report to the authorities regarding the situation, so he very quickly grabbed the parachute, put it on his back, and jumped out the plane. Well, the scholarly gentleman stood up next, and he explained that he had studied at Oxford University, Harvard University, Yale University, and he told them that he was regarded by most people as being one of the most intelligent men in the world. He also went on to say that the world desperately needed his knowledge and understanding, so he grabbed the parachute and jumped out the plane. Well, the pastor then considered his age and the fact that he lived a good life and he was right with the Lord, and so he said to the young Boy Scout, "Look, you take the last parachute." The young Boy Scout calmly said, "Don't worry." He said, "We'll both be okay. The most intelligent person in the world just put on my backpack before he jumped." It's been said that knowledge is good, but wisdom is even better. Knowledge can help you pass tests and accomplish tasks, but wisdom will guide you through the most important decisions in life. I don't know if you know, knowledge is necessary. And I want to encourage you to get as much knowledge as you can. Learn, study. If you can go to university or college, do that by all means. Read, listen to what is going on around you. Keep growing. But when it comes to making the important decisions in life and prioritizing the things that really matter, it is not knowledge that will get us ahead, but it is the wisdom of God that has been made available to us. Sandra Carey, the author, says, "Never mistake knowledge for wisdom. One helps you make a living. The other helps you make a life." I want us to look this morning at the story of Solomon in 2 Chronicles 1. And Solomon, the Bible speaks of as being the wisest man who had ever lived. And the context that we're about to read, Solomon had just become king of Israel. He had taken over from his father David. He was new to the throne. He was inexperienced. He was a young man. And he was pretty much feeling overwhelmed by the task that lay ahead of him. And 2 Chronicles 1 verse 7 reads that that night, God appeared to Solomon and said, "What do you want? Ask and I will give it to you." Have you ever thought what that would be like? If God had to appear on the edge of your bed one morning and say, "Ask anything you like and I'll give it to you." I wonder what your response might be. You might say, "Oh, Lord Jesus. Lord, give me a room full of money. Not rands, but dollars or pounds, please, in Jesus' name." You might say, "Oh, Lord, that big house on the ridge overlooking the ocean. Oh, Lord, that's what I'd want." Some of you might say, "Oh, definitely a sports car, one that goes very fast. That's what I would like." You know, for some of you, you might say, "Lord, if my Premier League team could just win the league once. For me, it's just once in my lifetime, Lord, please, before I go to be with you." Maybe you say, "Oh, Lord, if I could just have a hot woman, just a wife who just adores me and who's got all the curves, everything in the right place, all in proportion, in Jesus' name, of course." Maybe for some of you, Lord, that overseas holiday, that round the world cruise, if I could just have that. Interesting thing for God to ask Solomon, what do you want? But Solomon replied to God, verse 8, and said, "You showed great and faithful love to David, my father, and now you have made me king in his place. O Lord God, please continue to keep your promise to David, my father, for you have made me king over a people as numerous as the dust of the earth." You know, what's interesting here is that Solomon, before he responds, he shows reverence to God. He shows his fear of God. He acknowledges that it is God who has put him in this place. He doesn't take credit for himself. He honors and he reveres the Lord. Then verse 10, he says, "Give me the wisdom and knowledge to lead them properly. For who could possibly govern this great people of yours?" Not mine. Solomon doesn't speak of them as his people. They are the Lord's people. And by doing so, again, he acknowledges that everything he has is from God. He's only in that position of authority because God has put him there. Verse 11, God said to Solomon, "Because your greatest desire is to help your people, and you did not ask for wealth, riches, fame, or even the death of your enemies or a long life, but rather you asked for wisdom and knowledge to properly govern my people, I will certainly give you the wisdom and the knowledge you requested." Remember, the Bible says in the book of James, if you ask God because he's generous, he will give you the wisdom that you need. But then the Lord says, "But I will also give you wealth, riches, and fame such as no other king has had before you or will ever have in the future." You know, everyone in life is pursuing something. Unfortunately, most people are pursuing the things that God recognized that Solomon didn't ask for. Most people are pursuing wealth, riches, fame, all the worldly things. But God acknowledges that because Solomon pursued wisdom, because he desired that above all else, God says, not only will I give you the wisdom that you asked for, but I will also give you all the things that you didn't ask for. Those will be a byproduct of receiving and applying the wisdom that I'm making available to you. You know, when you get wisdom, you get the ability to get everything else you need in life. How many of you here today need more money? Be honest. Put up your hand if you say, three of you. The rest of you are lying. You all need more money. But if you need more money, get more wisdom, and the wisdom will bring you the money that you need. How many of you need better relationships? See, this service is so spiritual. You don't need anything from the Lord. Remember, the Bible says if you don't expect anything from God, you're going to get nothing. But if you need better relationships, get more wisdom, the byproduct is a better relationship. For those of you in business, if you need to grow your business, get more wisdom. And the business will grow as the byproduct of what you receive. When you ask God for wisdom, when you pursue wisdom, when you desire his wisdom, God not only gives that to you, but he gives you everything else that you need because it comes as the byproduct of wisdom. I want to mention three things to you this morning that wisdom brings into our lives. The first one we see from this passage is that wisdom brings success and greatness. Wisdom brings success and greatness. Solomon became successful. Why? Because he got wisdom. Solomon became great. Why? Because he got wisdom. You know, when you think of Solomon, Solomon's one of the heavyweights in Scripture. You know, there's a lot of people we read of in Scripture. You might see their name mentioned once or twice at most, but Solomon has got a fair chunk of Scripture attributed to him. There's the three books of the Bible that he wrote. Firstly, the book of Ecclesiastes towards the end of his life. He also wrote the Song of Songs, which is an interesting love story that takes place and got some good wisdom for relationships. And then Solomon also wrote in the early part of his life the book of Proverbs that we know now as the Wisdom Book. But in addition to those three books that he wrote, there are 20 chapters in the Bible that speak of Solomon's life. We find his life recorded in 1 Kings and 2 Chronicles. And so there's a vast chunk of Scripture that speaks of the success and the greatness of Solomon. Solomon never came successful by chance or by luck, but he got wisdom. He accessed the wisdom of God. He applied it to daily life. And as a result, everything got better for Solomon. Solomon's influence significantly increased. The Bible says that his fame spread throughout the earth. There was no other king like him. People came from all around the world in that ancient culture to come hear the wisdom of Solomon. The Bible also says that he had ridiculous wealth. In fact, silver was completely devalued in Solomon's lifetime because he had so much of it. But not only did Solomon become successful and great, the entire nation of Israel became successful as a result. Everyone's life got better because of the wisdom of Solomon. The Bible also says that when Solomon reigned, there was a time of peace in the kingdom, which was very unusual in ancient culture. A king was almost always at war with someone. But the wisdom of God brought success and greatness into Solomon's life. In 1 Kings 10 verse 1, we read that the queen of Sheba heard of Solomon's fame, which brought honor to the name of the Lord. I want you to note that for a moment there. Because sometimes we can get nervous when we speak about success or greatness. But Solomon's greatness brought greatness to the name of God. God didn't make Solomon great so that Solomon could be awesome. God made Solomon great so that he could do something great through him. You need to know that God desires greatness for your life, not just so that you can build your own empire, not just so that you can be famous, but so that he can do something great through you. If you don't succeed and become great, God cannot do the great things through your life that he desires to do. It says of the queen that when she met with Solomon, she talked with him about everything she had on her mind. Husbands, how many of you know that's not a short conversation? When your wife sits you down and says, I need to talk to you about everything on my mind. I mean, that's days. That might even be months that conversation takes. But I love the next verse. It says, Solomon had answers for all her questions. He didn't have to just nod, and he had answers. Nothing was too hard for the king to explain to her. When the queen of Sheba realized how very wise Solomon was, and when she saw the palace he had built, she was overwhelmed. Bear in mind, she was royalty herself. She was also amazed at the food on his tables, the organization of his officials. You know, when you get wisdom in your life, it's amazing how organized your life becomes, rather than being chaotic and all over the show. She saw their splendid clothing, the cupbearers, and the burnt offering Solomon made at the temple of the Lord. And she exclaimed to the king, "Everything I heard in my country about your achievements and wisdom is true. I didn't believe what was said until I arrived here and saw it with my own eyes. In fact, I had not heard the half of it. Your wisdom and prosperity are far beyond what I was told. How happy your people must be. What a privilege for your officials to stand here day after day listening to your wisdom." You know, we see here that God gave Solomon wisdom essentially for the benefit of the people. It wasn't just to make Solomon great, it was to make the people of God great. God will give you greatness so that he can do something of greatness through your life. Because God knows that when success and greatness come as a result of godly wisdom, the person who then gets that wisdom will not use it or not use their position to abuse other people or to mistreat other people or to take advantage of other people or to use it for personal gain. But that wisdom that becomes greatness is used for the advantage and the benefit of our people. And isn't that what we need in our country? When the leaders make poor decisions, the people suffer. But when the leaders respond with godly wisdom, the entire nation benefits as a result. Proverbs 4 verse 8, Solomon says, "If you prize wisdom, she will make you great. Embrace her and she will honor you. She will place a lovely wreath on your head and she will present you with a beautiful crown." Two analogies Solomon uses there of what wisdom does. He first compares it to a wreath that is put on your head, and making a reference to the ancient culture of the Greeks during the Olympic Games, something that was later embraced by the Romans, where the winner of each event would have a wreath placed by the emperor upon their head. And that wreath signified that you were victorious. It signified that you were successful, and it implied that you had now achieved greatness. That's what wisdom does for us. But then he compares wisdom to a crown being put on our head. Now, you and I would both know that crowns are reserved for royalty, for kings and queens. But the implication that Solomon is making is when you apply wisdom, what happens is you then become a ruler in life over other things and other people. Rather being someone that is ruled over, you gain authority, you gain power, you become a ruler in life. You rule over those who don't have wisdom. You rule over your personal issues. You rule over your personal challenges. You become an overcomer rather than someone who is always overcome. Wisdom puts a wreath on your head and it puts a beautiful crown on you as well. In Ecclesiastes 10 verse 10, Solomon again says, using a dull axe requires great strength, so sharpen the blade. That's the value of wisdom. It helps you succeed. God's desire for you is that you would succeed in life. He's made wisdom available to us. If we apply it, we will succeed. If we don't apply it, we won't be successful. You know, the truth is that many people in life work incredibly hard. They work very long hours. Some people work in terrible conditions, and yet they never seem to get ahead in life. Why is that? The way the world works is simply that long hours and hard work on its own don't always get you ahead. It's when you add wisdom to what you do. When you receive God's wisdom, you apply it to the work you do. You apply it to the long hours. And all of a sudden, your life begins to get better. It begins to move forward because that is what God has designed godly wisdom to do. Abraham Lincoln, speaking about this, the former American president, once said, "Give me 6 hours to chop down a tree, and I will spend the first 4 sharpening the axe." See, that's wisdom's way. Now, the worldly way is very different from that. Give me 6 hours, I'm going to spend those first 4 hours making money. I'm going to make a few deals in those first 4 hours. No, but wisdom works very differently to the way the world works, especially godly wisdom. Godly wisdom says if you want to get ahead, you've got to apply what Scripture says. You've got to take the Word of God and make it real in your life. And as a result of that, you will achieve levels of success and greatness that you could never do on your own. But the moment you begin to apply wisdom, everything gets better in your life. There is wisdom brings success and greatness. Can you say amen to that? Here's another thing that godly wisdom does. Wisdom keeps us from immoral living. It's gone very quiet after that point. Very quiet. Wisdom keeps us from immoral living. I want to read you from Proverbs 5, again Solomon speaking, and he starts the passage by saying, "My son." Now, just to give you the context, Solomon is writing this book of Proverbs to his sons regarding women, but this would also apply to women regarding men. So we're not picking on the ladies now. But he writes and he says, "My son, pay attention to my wisdom. Listen carefully to my wise counsel, for the lips of an immoral woman are as sweet as honey, and her mouth is smoother than oil." You say, sounds quite nice. Desirable, tempting, I need some. No, you don't. Verse 4, "But in the end, she is as bitter as poison, and as dangerous as a double-edged sword." You know, double-edged sword means there's a blade on either side. Whichever way you misuse it, it's going to hurt you. However you try to justify immoral living, it will always hurt you in some way. He says, "Her feet go down to death. Her steps lead straight to the grave. Stay away from her. Don't go near the door of her house." Verse 9, "If you do, you will lose." Everyone say lose. "You will lose your honor, and you will lose to merciless people all you have achieved." Notice when there's a lack of wisdom, we always lose something. "Strangers will consume your wealth, and someone else will enjoy the fruit of your labor. In the end, you will groan." Everyone say groan. "You will groan in anguish when disease consumes your body." People who lack godly wisdom end up groaning their way through life. Solomon's speaking very clearly about wisdom when it comes to the area of sexual immorality. And let me just remind you, for those of you who've perhaps forgotten or chosen to forget, what sexual immorality according to God's view is. It's any sexual interaction outside of marriage. Marriage being between a man and a woman, a husband and a wife. Anything outside that, the Bible deems to be sexually immoral. But of course, human wisdom and its cleverness has redefined all these things. Marriage has been redefined. Morality has been redefined. And essentially, we're told today that you can do whatever you want, with who you want, how you want, as long as it makes you feel happy, go for it. But the Bible warns that if we ignore God's wisdom when it comes to relationships and morality, there is a big price to pay. And he compares these type of ungodly relationships to two things. Firstly, taking bitter poison, which will destroy you. And the second one, as I mentioned, to playing with a double-edged sword, which will always hurt you. There will always be great loss as a result of not applying godly wisdom when it comes to the area of relationships. There's a website you might have heard of. It's called ashleymadison.com. It's a Canadian online dating service. And they are designed to help married people have affairs. Their slogan, they were founded in 2002. Their slogan there you can see is, life is short, have an affair. In 2019, a year ago in February, the chief strategy officer of the company, a guy called Paul Keeble, announced that the company had reached the 60 million membership mark. 60 million members. He also went on to very proudly state that Ashley Madison helps create up to 1 million affairs every month. Imagine standing before the Lord one day. What did you do with your life? Well, I had this website and I thought it was cool. And what's interesting, in 2015, a group of computer hackers got into the company's website. They stole all the information and they published online the names of every single person that had been registered with this organization. As a result, many marriages broke up, people got fired. A lot of people, big CEOs, even committed suicide because of the consequences that they knew would follow. Now, a man by the name of Michael Hyatt, who's a very wise man, he's written a number of books. He wrote an article in response to what took place with the Ashley Madison website, and the title of the article was Counting the Cost of Having an Affair. And I want to just read some of it to you. He said, the only way to justify adultery is closing our eyes to the terrible costs it exacts. Adultery is not normal, and it certainly isn't inevitable. God made us for fidelity, but we live in a fallen world, and we can't afford to lack wisdom. Nothing will destroy our life and legacy faster than an affair. We must count the cost. Isn't that what the Bible says? And then he lists 8 things that having an affair through an immoral relationship will cost you. He says, firstly, it'll cost you your reputation. Secondly, it'll possibly cost you your job. Thirdly, it will definitely cost you money. Fourthly, it'll probably cost you your family, your marriage, your children. Fifthly, it'll cost you your friendships. Number 6, it'll cost you emotional health. 7th, it will cost you your legacy, that which you then pass on to your children and to your children's children. And number 8, if you don't repent of it, it'll cost you your soul at the end of the day. This is the wisdom of the world. The world is saying, this is wise, do this. It gives you an outlet. And you know, I just sense that perhaps there's maybe a few people here today who you're on the cusp of having an affair. Maybe you are married or you're about to have an affair with a married person. Can you receive the word of the Lord today? Stop. Leave the Lord as saying, if you go down that road, it will end up in death for you. Repent, turn around, come back to God. Wisdom can save your soul. Proverbs 2:16 says, wisdom will save you from the immoral woman, from the seductive words of the promiscuous woman. She has abandoned her husband and ignores the covenant she made before God. Entering her house leads to fun to an awesome party. No, it doesn't say that. Entering a house leads where? To death. It is the road to the grave. The man who visits her is doomed. He will never reach the paths of life. You know, the truth is that you and I will forfeit the great future that God has for us if we ignore God's wisdom when it comes to the area of relationships and morality. You need to know God has a good future for you. God has a good future for your family. He's got good things that He's stored up for every area of your life. But if you ignore His wisdom, if you turn your back on God's wisdom, unfortunately, it will end up costing you everything. Proverbs 7 verse 4 says, treat wisdom as your sister and insight as your closest friend. They will keep you away from other men's wives. Sounds obvious, eh? From women with seductive words. Don't devalue godly wisdom. You know, there was a woman by the name of Anna Mary Robertson. She was better known as Grandma Moses. And she lived in America in the late 1800s and early 1900s. And towards the end of her life, she took up painting. She realized she was pretty decent with painting. And she started painting a number of these little fairly simple but landscape type paintings. And eventually people started asking if they could buy them from her. And so she used to sell these paintings for $10 each. Well, one guy got hold of one of these that he had purchased, and he took it to an art show where he got this thing valuated, and they estimated that its value was at $60,000. Now, here was poor old Grandma Moses. She had good intentions, but she devalued what was in her hands, and as a result, it ended up costing her a whole lot. You see, when you and I devalue wisdom, there is always a price that we have to pay. It will always end up costing us something. Wisdom is the most valuable thing that we can get from God, aside from our faith in Jesus. When you get wisdom, everything gets better. And the Bible says that wisdom not only brings success and greatness, but it will also save us from an immoral lifestyle. Can you say amen to that? Let me give you one more. Wisdom elevates us and others. Wisdom elevates us and others. Proverbs 15:24 says, the path of life leads upward. Everyone say upward. The path of life leads upward for the wise. They leave the grave behind. You know, our lives are always heading in one of two directions. Either they're heading upward or they're heading downward. If we're making progress, if we're getting better, if we're getting wiser, life is moving upward. But if your life is moving downwards, it means you're making poor choices, you're prioritizing the wrong things, and your life is heading toward the grave. The only difference is whether we get and apply the wisdom that God has for us. You know, wisdom is a bit like an elevator. It will always take you higher. It will always take you further than you can go on your own. It will always make the trip easier than if you had to do it without it. That's what God has designed wisdom to do for us. And as we see from the life of Solomon, when he got godly wisdom, not only did his life get better and go further, but the entire nation got better as a result of that. That's the way that God uses wisdom to work. You know, I saw something quite fascinating this week, and I'll show you a clip in a moment. A number of years ago, a South African guy, and I can't even remember his name, but he invented something that is called the play pump. And he took knowledge and he added wisdom to it. He basically said, look, children love to play. And on the other hand, he said, in many of the rural communities in our country, there is a lack of clean water. He took that knowledge, he put the two together, he used wisdom, and he came up with a brilliant concept called the play pump. Have a look at this on the screen.
It is exactly what it looks like, a merry-go-round. But this playground equipment makes life a whole lot easier for those who don't have piped water. Branded Play Pump, it supplies rural primary schools with clean drinking water by means of a sustainable pumping system.
As the children play on it, it pumps up clean drinking water into the storage container and then can be taken off immediately or stored for a later date. So they always have water available for drinking. This water is used not only for the school, but also the local people come and collect it.
Roundabout Water Solution has placed over 900 play pumps over safe drinking water boreholes in South Africa and 213 Lesotho. And for this day care, the play pump has been life-changing.
At this school, prior to the play pump, they used to get water from this borehole, and their children were always getting diarrhoea and feeling sick, whereas now they're not. With the older children, the girls aren't taken out of school, so it means that it doesn't impact on their schooling. So they have a better chance of a decent education.
Keep them very right, because they were sick, you see. They were getting sick, and now it's much better. They don't get sick. Oh, to me it means a lot, and to the children too, because they play here. And the school children, they come after school, they come to play here.
A simple idea, but the best ideas usually are. And it's made ripples well beyond Africa.
The play pump may not be the answer to all water-related problems, but here at this school, it's been a game changer, and it's being powered by the play of children. Chili Shire, CGTN, Winterveld, South Africa.
Isn't that brilliant, eh? You see, one man's wisdom has a massive impact on so many around him. That water brings life to those communities. And that's really what the gaining of wisdom does, is it brings life. It brings hope. It brings the promise of a better future. You know, for those of you who are husbands, when you get wisdom, your marriage is better as a result of it. There's life in your marriage. As parents, when you get wisdom, there's new life in your family and your kids and your home. For those of you who are business leaders, when you get wisdom, there's life within your organization. When the pastor of the church gets wisdom, Lord, help him in Jesus' name. The congregation gets wisdom. When the school teacher or the principal gets wisdom, everyone benefits as a result of that wisdom. That's why God needs to get wisdom to you. It's not just for you. It's so that God can begin to work through you. You know, the reality is that none of us get to choose where we start in life. You don't get to choose whether you're born in a palace or a shack or in poverty or up on the suburbs. None of us get to choose that. But every single one of us has the ability to change the trajectory of our lives. We can't determine our start, but we can choose where we go in the future. You might have grown up poor. However, you can change the outcome of your life by getting godly wisdom. You might not have finished school, which is a setback. However, you can change your life by getting wisdom. Your parents might not have done right by you when you were growing up. Terrible thing. However, you can change your life by getting wisdom. You might not have had a perfect start. You might have messed up many times. Leave it in the past. Get godly wisdom and begin to change the outcome of your life. Wisdom elevates us, but it also elevates those around us. Let me finish with Proverbs 17:2. Solomon says that a wise servant will rule over the master's disgraceful son and will share the inheritance of the master's children. You know, a servant who was born into a house was always lower than the son. The Bible says if the servant gets wisdom, he will eventually end up ruling over the son. The Bible speaks of an inheritance, the master's inheritance for those who get wisdom. God has a rich inheritance for your future. He has more for your life. He has abundance for you. But it's linked to you getting and applying the godly wisdom that is available from Scripture. If you forsake wisdom, you will lose. If you get wisdom, you will gain. God loves you. God has got a purpose for your life. God's got good plans for your future. God desires more for you. He's got success for you. He's got greatness for your future. He desires to elevate your life. If you can get wisdom that God has made available, you can become all that God has created you to be. Can you say amen to that?
We hope you have been blessed and inspired by this message.